Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? Dave Monte from Circle of Drink. Another episode of an online Monte Circle. It's really not an episode, it's just a circle. It could be a circle of one person, it could be a circle of two people, it could be a circle of a million people. The great thing about the internet is that we are able to expand the circle beyond regions, beyond the Southern Cone in South America, the countries that drink yerba mate the most, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Southern Brazil. Right now I'm in New York, and many people who are going to be watching the show are from all over the world. Circle of Drink is truly international. Last week, I spent some time looking at the different countries of people associated with Circle of Drink, and I counted well over 40 countries. So there you go. This is an international yerba mate circle. For those of you guys that watched last week's show or last week's circle, we spoke about what is a yerba mate circle, what does it mean to you, and essentially, yerba mate circle is just people coming together, sharing mate, having a good time, and talking about cool things. Now, with that said, today's topic is something that I love a lot, something that I've been investigating for years, dreaming. What is dreaming? What are dreams? And we're going to go into some of the different aspects of dreams, like astral projection, lucid dreaming, out-of-body experiences. The list goes on. But I just kind of want to preface this by saying I don't have the answers. I am not an expert. I'm only going upon my own experiences, my own journey through this dream world that we'll talk about. And I don't think there is any right or wrong answer when it comes to dreams. You know, who could really say there's a right answer or a wrong answer when it comes to something that we can't even really quantify, something that baffles scientists, something that has one camp of scientists saying that it's ridiculous to even investigate your dreams. It's all this subconscious matter, making projections. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. And then you have another camp of scientists who say it's so important. You know, dreams are the gateway to understanding your mind. Dreams could unlock certain potential in your mind. And then, of course, we have other spiritual people, people who for thousands of years have used dreams as an integral part of their societies. In South American societies, you had the shaman, the spiritual leader, who still to this day heavily depends on the dream world. Things that happen in the dream world to inspire them or to kind of guide them to things that are happening in this physical world. Now, if you go over into Eastern philosophy, Buddhism, Zen, we talk about things where dreams are very important. And we talk about lucid dreaming, controlling the dream, knowing that you are in a dream. And then over here in Western ideology, Western philosophy, and Western medicine, you know, we have dream scientists, people who study various cycles of dreams, rather various cycles of sleep, which coincides, if you're talking about REM, the REM period, rapid eye movement, which coincides with actual dream activity. Many scientists believe that the only time you could dream is when you're going through rapid eye movement, REM phase. There's essentially five phases of sleep, and REM being one of them. It's when you're in a deep sleep, and you're actually, you know, if you've ever seen your dog's eyes move while he's sleeping, that's actually REM. We'll talk about that in a second. What's going on, Dane? Ready for a circle?
Yeah.
Nice, man. We're just talking about dreams today, dude. Dreams. You got any information on dreams? I'll tax your mind in a few minutes. All right, guys, let me talk about my experiences, and then we'll open up the line for callers, anyone that wants to call in. I'll give you the number. The number is, I should memorize this number, 917-889-9947. And depending on where you're watching this video, you could probably, you could definitely join in this video conversation if you have a Google account, and we'll see you, I'll see you, we'll see each other. Or you could just use your audio. So feel free. Don't be shy. You could jump in on the conversation anytime you want. All right. We got my buddy Dane over here, Circle of Drink. Let me give you my experience on dreams. We'll start with that to kind of start this conversation. Well, as long as I can remember, I've had dreams that I could recall. You know, I have the ability to remember most of my dreams. Without getting too technical, everybody pretty much dreams. Everyone has several dreams a night. There's not just one dream. There's many dreams every single night. Most people, as Freud will attest to, their dreams melt away. When they wake up in the morning, they start associating, making associations in their head with physical things, with their own life, with their own dealings, you know, even if it's things in their room, and the mind literally melts away the dream and you don't remember the dream. Some people have the ability to remember the dream, their dreams very well. They wake up and they remember, you know, the last dream that they had. Some people can remember three dreams that they had in one night. Some people can remember all the dreams, and some people could even jump back into dreams, so to speak, where you're having a dream, you wake up, and you go back to sleep, and then you're back in the dream. There's so many things to talk about, but let's just focus on a few of the things to get going. Now, like I said, my basic dream experiences has been being able to, number one, remember my dreams. I've always remembered my dreams. Later on in life, as I continued to mature, I started to do something else, which is called lucid dreaming. Now, a lucid dream is essentially you're in a dream and you're looking around and, you know, you think everything, you know, is okay, because if you don't know you're dreaming, you think that you're just awake and everything is normal. So you could see the weirdest things in that dreamscape and it'll be totally normal. But the difference is when you're having a lucid dream, that's when you say, okay, well, that person over there has three eyes and people don't have three eyes. So then you say, wait a minute. Oh my God, this is a dream. I'm dreaming. And at that moment, usually one of two things happens. You either become scared and excited and you wake up because you were just so excited or so scared that you wake up, you can't handle the situation, and the dream literally breaks apart, breaks down. In my experience, it usually just becomes whitewashed. In some people's experiences, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Inception, things kind of crumble. Yes, that could happen. And the other thing that could happen is you learn how to control that situation. You learn how to say, okay, whoa, this is great. I'm dreaming. And you don't get too excited. You don't get too scared. You just kind of stay even keel and you just control your breathing. You control the situation and you are now lucid. You can now control the dream. You can now do anything that you believe that you can do. So if you believe that you can fly while you're lucid, you will fly. If you believe that you could walk through walls, you will walk through walls. If you don't believe that you could do those things, it doesn't matter that you're lucid. You won't be able to achieve those things. Just like waking life. In waking life, what you believe you could do, usually that's what you achieve. Everything in your own life right now, your own situation, how much money you have, if you have a boyfriend, if you have a girlfriend, if you're in a good relationship with your family, if you have a good job, all that is coming out of you, believe it or not. That is all coming from you. Same thing in a dream. I don't want to get too Dr. Phil on you, but yeah, the same thing in a dream. So when you're lucid in a dream, for me, that's the greatest testament to how powerful you are as a human being. You're walking through walls. You're flying. You're talking to spirits and entities. All crazy things are happening. You could take it as far as you want to take it. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I've done some crazy things in my lucid dreams. I've done mathematical problems. I've had philosophical conversations with people who I don't know who they were. I've done some spectacular things when I'm in a lucid state. I don't know how it's achievable. It just when you're lucid, you could do anything pretty much if you believe that you can. So that's basically what a lucid dream is. You're in a dream, and you know you're in a dream, and you're now in a lucid state. Have you ever had that experience?
Only a few times. I mean, my roommate at school was very much more into it. He had the music. He like lagged. He like took power naps. Just like controlled his breathing, all that stuff, and like would get into like lucid dreaming. I mean, in Inception, like they had like something that like signified that you were like in a dream. Like he had like, there would be like a red ball or something like this, something like really simple. Like it'd be like, oh, like I'm asleep. Or
yeah.
I'm in a dream.
Yeah.
And he said, like, you learn a lot about yourself. Like,
you learn so much. I think you can learn everything about yourself in the dream state. That's what's so crazy about it, man. I've learned so much about myself. I'm still trying to learn from the dreams, from the people who I've spoken to. Lucid dreaming, powerful thing. Yeah, some people actually can incite a lucid dream with binaural beats, these frequencies, these beats that literally put you into that state of mind where you, some of these beats are crazy. I used to use one called Hemiswitch. I think it was called Hemiswitch. Hemisync. I think it's called Hemisync. Look into that. And there was this one particular beat. Every time I put it on, it was like somebody punched me in the face and knocked me out. It was crazy. You put on that beat. Within 30 seconds, you close your eyes, your eyes start rolling, and you're gone. You're just totally in another place. So be careful. Of course, this video has not been approved by the FDA. So this is all for educational purposes only. So when you're dealing with dreams and psychology and the mind, go at your own pace, do your own research, and just take it one step at a time. Now, let's go into something called astral projection. I know this is going to sound really crazy to some of you guys, but you know what? I don't care. I've gone through these things. Many people have gone through these things, and these things have been written about in different books and different Bibles for thousands of years. So it's not just me. Astral projection. What is it?
Yeah.
All right. So astral projection is something hard to swallow if you don't know about it, because it could be kind of freaky. But I think many people have experienced it. But they don't know it. Some people probably have experienced it, and then they've gone to the doctor and they got diagnosed.
Before you explain, because I think,
tell me,
is it when you have almost deja vu, future moment almost? I've had that happen.
That's a little different, but that could coincide.
In a dream state, I've had I would be dreaming and almost be a flashback.
Yeah.
So, it's a photo of a moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes the moment it hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah.
And then sometimes
that's like a premonition.
Couple weeks, couple months, even a couple years down the line, you just remember, you're wait, I saw this.
Yeah.
Before.
That could be even past life experiences.
Yeah.
That goes into more past life experiences coming through to your dreams.
Yeah.
If you believe in past life, I do believe that we all have had past lives that we keep on going on. And we'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
But everything you said can coincide with astral projection, but it's not necessarily what astral projection is. So my first experience of astral projection, I didn't know what it was, so I didn't know what was happening to me, but I'll tell you what happened. This was in June 2013, and I was doing what I usually do. Every night I meditate, I go into Zazen meditation, I sit down, fold my legs, turn off all the lights, and I meditate. I've been doing that for about 8-9 years now. It's just something I do. On this particular night, I was sitting down and a weird sensation came over me. I just basically started to lose sensation of my legs. And then I started to lose sensation of my chest. And then finally, I lost sensation of everything. And at first, I was very scared because I never experienced losing sensation on my body. I was like, what is going on? My eyes were closed, but all of a sudden, purple and white clouded everything. And I was like, you know what, this is crazy, but I got to go with it. I was very scared. My heart was racing. I didn't know what was happening, but I went with it. And basically what happened was I felt like I kind of detached from my physical body, and I felt like I was floating. And I didn't understand it. I was scared and freaked out, and I felt like I was beginning to travel somewhere, not physically, but spiritually. I felt like I was beginning to go somewhere into some sort of tunnel. And I got so scared to the point where I basically forced myself to break out of it. I didn't know what happened. The next day, I went on to Google, and I started researching all this. Losing sensation during meditation. Having the sensation of floating. Everything turning white. Tunnels, going through a tunnel. And all my research started to show up astral projection. I didn't know what it was. So I spent 2 weeks looking into astral projection. And by that time, I had already gone back to Argentina. I was just visiting New York at the time. And for 2 weeks, I had this crazy, crazy episode. Every single time I looked into astral projection and I learned some techniques on how to go into it. And for 2 weeks, every time I went to bed, I literally had this event, this spiritual event where I would close my eyes, everything would be whitewashed again, my heart would start racing, and then I would go through some sort of tunnel. And I got to the point when I was getting into this tunnel, I would get scared every time and I would break out of it. That happened for 2 weeks. I don't know, I felt like I was possessed or something, I don't know. Really what was happening is I was learning how to astral project, but I didn't have the courage to go through with it the whole time. So I broke out of it. That was my first initiation into astral projection. Then I spent about a year and a year and a half after that just researching it and experimenting, and to the point where I got comfortable, to the point where I took it to the fullest capacity. And what is that? I'll tell you right now. Some of you guys may not believe this, but this is what really happens for me when I astral projected. After investigating and talking to people and becoming more comfortable with it, I finally, as if the times lined up perfectly, the planets lined up perfectly for me, I was able and comfortable enough to fall asleep. You got to be aware when you're falling asleep. That's the trick. While you're falling asleep, you got to be so aware that you know when your physical body is asleep and sleeping. Once your physical body is sleeping and your mind is still awake, most people think that they're dead at that point. They're scared. All types of hypnagogic imagery can manifest. That's where probably 90% of all this alien abduction comes from. When people are in something called the hypnagogic state, that is when you are literally paralyzed from the waist down. You cannot move. You're immobilized. Your body goes into this hypnagogic state to protect you and prevent you from jumping out of the window every single night when you're sleeping. Those people who have sleepwalking situations have a misfiring of this hypnagogic state. I don't want to go into all that. That's all whatever. Basically, once you learn how to fall asleep physically and your mind is still awake, you could astral project. You could literally float out of your body, your physical body. Or in my case, I usually drop through my bed. Once you drop through your bed, mind you, this is your dream body I'm talking about. I call it the dream body. Some people call it other things. You could drop through the bed or float above your physical body. And now, I don't know where you are, but you're somewhere. I won't presume to know where I am at that point. But I'm outside of my physical body. And I'm walking through walls in my house. I'm flying around. I see my physical body sleeping. I know that I am sleeping. I am sleeping, but yet I'm awake and I'm walking around. I'm seeing things. I'm seeing people. Sometimes I'm seeing crazy things, scary things. Sometimes I'm seeing blobs of energy. It's different for everybody. Sometimes you see everything that's happening in your house. Sometimes it's like a copy of things in your house, but things are changed around. Astral projection is not the same thing as lucid dreaming in my mind. Astral projection is more like you physically come out of your body, you know that you're out of your body, you see your body sleeping, and you're able to act out things, you're able to talk to people. When I'm astral projecting, usually I'm always talking to people. I don't know who these people are, I'm talking to them, they're talking to me, I'm getting information from them, sometimes I'm getting entirely new ideas from them. Astral projection allows you to come out of your physical body, you could teleport, sometimes I teleport to the beach. Sometimes I fly. Sometimes I talk to dead relatives. It's not quite a lucid dream, but one could call it a lucid dream, but I think lucid dream is something different. Lucid dream is when you wake up in a dream, you know you're in a dream, then you go from there. Astral projection is you have fallen asleep, you know that you have fallen asleep, then you consciously say, okay, I'm going to come out of my body, I'm going to take my spiritual body outside of my physical body and walk around, do whatever I want to do. That's astral projection. I don't know what it is. I've read plenty of books on other cultures talking about it. The Hindus have talked about it. They've called these different stages of existence called bardos, these different planes of existence that you could travel to while you're astral projecting or while you're in this dream yoga state, what they call it is dream yoga, becoming aware of your dream. But if you do any research on Hinduism, Buddhism, you'll see that these cultures have talked about, in not these exact terms, but have talked about astral projection, have talked about lucid dreaming, have talked about controlling the dream state. That's everything we're talking about right now. So we have astral projection. We have lucid dreaming. And some people call astral projection an outer body experience. Outer body experience. That's sort of like when somebody has died, they flatlined, and they come out of the body momentarily. That's basically an astral projection. It happens all the time. The doctors have been talking about this for hundreds of years now. Patients have reported being able to come out of their body while they were on the operating table, see the doctors cutting into them, hear the doctors, hear the nurses, and then after they were revived, they're back in their physical body, and they could recount the entire situation, and the doctors can't understand how they were able to recount the entire situation. How do you explain that? I don't know. What do you think about astral projection?
I mean, yeah, like you said, I guess what your brain can do. I mean, I feel like whether or not it's all, like, really happening or, like, how we're taking in the information, the fact that your brain just lays it all out there and is putting it in, like, just a visual schema so you can, like, actively just travel through it and interact with your own mind. It's like you're just conversing with yourself. It's like you're just standing in the mirror. But, like,
well, my question to you is, are you talking with yourself, or is there an additional, are there outside forces?
I mean,
in your mind, would you think
for
that
for dreaming, I would say it's definitely yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, astral projection is, like they said, like more of an elevated yoga state. For that, I mean, maybe there's a level of spiritual contact. Maybe, like, when you contact someone or you, like, you're conversing in, like, in that state, like, you're just communicating with, like, the energies around you.
And, yeah.
Like, you might pass on, like, a small amount of information. I mean, you're not going to, no one's going to remember both full conversations, but, I mean, someone might be like, oh, like, I had a random thought about you last night, and be like, so maybe this is happening. So, I mean.
So, it's all in your mind, the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but, I mean, like, power of the brain is something we don't fully understand. So, I mean, what it's capable of and how it could possibly communicate with other people, like, through that dream state is something that, like, we're just skimming the surface for that.
Yeah, I mean,
neuroscience, not really. I mean, it is somewhere, but, I mean, into the depths of, like, dreaming and, like, what our brain does at that state is not fully understood yet.
Yeah, there's a book called The Art of Lucid Dreaming by Stephen LaBerge, I believe his name is. And he seems to be one of the, I don't even know if he's still alive, actually. But he wrote one of the foremost books on dreaming. And in his book, he illustrates a situation where doctors and scientists are now having positive results of people learning things in their dreams and becoming better by learning things in their dreams, becoming better at physical things in reality, becoming better at the example they use in that book was, I think, video games. So what they would do is scientists would tell video game players to play this game. And then they would say, tonight, when you go to sleep, I want you to imagine playing this video game. And try to recreate the video game in your dream. Now, the participants in this study who actually tried to remember and tried to play out these scenarios in their dream perform better in physical waking reality. So now we are seeing applications, physical, practical applications of dreaming. Now, I'm still kind of wrestling with the whole thing is, and this probably doesn't even really matter, are these events and dreams outside forces totally independent of the dreamer. Or, as somebody who's along the lines of Freud or many modern dream scientists now would say, no, these things are all subconscious matter that projects into your dream. They're not outside of you. They all come from you. So, for instance, say your grandmother dies and you have a dream that night of your grandmother coming to give you a hug. One scientist will say, okay, well, your mind is just trying to deal with this trauma by creating a projection of your grandmother to kind of ease your pain. Now, you could ask somebody else that same question, and they would tell you something totally different. They would say, well, your grandmother really came to you. She visited you, and she said hello to you, and she eased your pain, and she went off on her way. Now, which is the right answer? Which is the wrong answer? I don't think there's a right answer. I don't think there is a wrong answer. I kind of believe in both. I believe that, yes, these are projections of the mind, but I also, as somebody who believes in the afterlife and believes in the spirit going beyond the body, who believes in metaphysics, I have to believe that there's some things that occur outside of ourselves. Can you close that, please? I just have to believe that there's more than this physical body, that there's more than this physical experience. When I physically die, I truly believe that I continue to go on. Where? I don't know. I don't know. But I do believe that I continue to go on, and I continue to travel. Right now, I'm just traveling. I'm using this body. I'm using this name. I'm using this whole look. This is all just on rent. It's all on loan. I will have to give it back one day. I have to give this body back to the earth, but I'll be able to take on another vehicle. This kind of segues into, I don't know if you guys have ever read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. This book is very interesting because it talks about what happens to you when you physically die. And depending on your own level of understanding, your own training, depending on your anxiety, if you have fear when you're dying, that greatly determines what happens on the next phase of your life. This could all be one nightmare hell for you, or it could be heaven. Maybe your life is great and everything's great. That's what I believe heaven and hell is. For me, heaven and hell is right now, right here. You're having a good day. You're in heaven. Everything's great. You're in heaven. Everything's shitty. Everything's bad. You're in hell. And I believe the same thing continues on right now. Right now, right now. So it doesn't matter if you die tonight, there's still going to be that right now moment, right now moment. And maybe this is your right now moment, you know? Maybe this is my dream sequence. But I believe that just like in the dream state, when you become lucid, you must strive to become lucid now. Right now, become lucid. And to the degree in which you're lucid right now, you control your reality. You ever look at those people? They lost everything. They lost their house. They lost their kids. They lost all their money. They lost everything. But within a couple of years, they got it all back and more. Then you got another person who lost everything, and that's it. For the rest of their life, they're done. They're gone. They're depressed. They're in the gutter for the rest of their life. What was the difference between those two people? I believe that one of those people had control of their life. They were lucid. They were like, I believe that I can create anything. So I'm just going to rebuild, and I'm going to make it all happen again. No problem, because I mold reality. I mold reality. I bring it together. I make it happen. But the other person didn't believe. If you don't believe, how could you create? You got to believe. That's what dreaming teaches me. It teaches me to believe in myself. When I fly in my dreams, I know that I could do anything in physical reality. When I walk through walls in my dreams, I know how powerful the mind is. I'm walking through walls. Do you know how much data the mind has to process to be able to have multiple conversations in multiple languages and walking through walls and flying with things that I've done in my dreams like it was water? You know how much data is being processed by the mind? The mind is a very powerful thing. Dreaming is the ultimate testament to how powerful we all are. That's what I love about dreaming. It shows me how powerful I am. Societies have known this for thousands of years, for millennia. Western culture kind of turns a blind eye to this. Eastern culture is so open to this. What do you think? Speak, brother, speak. Whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Dreaming is a very wide spectrum for, I mean, a lot of the answers you give yourself, the answers you feel that come from other people that might come from yourself, the spiritual teachings, the real life application, you can practice something in your dream, you're bringing things is real, it's going to practice it, it's going to improve, and it's going to try to get better. I mean, it's like what I was talking about earlier, like the premonition thing. Like, I've heard a couple of people gone through that, like seeing like flash or like a photo,
yeah,
and then like it coming true down the line. It's just something that like the fact that like your brain could like give you that information, like almost like
that's
a hint.
Crazy, man.
Like, it's just, it knows that like something like that is going to happen down the line. Like, you're going to be in that scenario.
I've been in those situations where you have a dream about something, and then sometimes even the next day.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? I mean, last week I had a dream. And I had a dream of this plane flying right over my house, this huge plane. And where I was standing, looking at this plane, the next day, and this could be all a coincidence, I was standing pretty much in the same area looking up and seeing a big plane right flying right over my house. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, that could all be one big coincidence. Or maybe I broke into some window where you could see what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think time is linear. I think that time could be stretched. I think that time...
Our brain is capable of a lot of things we aren't aware of.
Yeah, I mean, there's been instances in dreams where I was literally in two different places at the same time, having two different conversations at the same time. How could I do that? You know, it's like...
Yeah.
Try to do that now and waking reality. I mean,
it's
I think it shows us. That's why dreams are there, to show us things. Why else do we dream? I mean, it's like a computer that's repowering every day. It's like
troubleshooting every day.
Yeah, it's like troubleshooting. Like, you could look at the practical aspects of dreams and you could say, well, dreams, practically speaking, are there to revive your mind. They're there to inspire you, to refresh you. And on a very basic level, you know, your body sleeps to restore itself, to build up power again, to build up glucose levels again, to build up, you know, to detoxify your blood, to rebuild blood. So much is happening. And when you're dreaming, I believe that the same thing's happening in your mind. You're cleaning up things. You're making new connections. You're making neural connections. So there are many practical applications to dreams. I still don't know what they are. I won't pretend to know what they are. These different aspects of dreams, lucid dreaming, astral projection, out-of-body experiences, I don't know what they are. If anyone tells you that they absolutely know what they are, maybe you should run away, because how could anyone categorically state what these things are? I don't know that you can. How can you? You know, everybody has different experiences, because there's infinite experiences. In order to have a true scientific study, you need a control. How could you have a control in a situation that is infinitely expanding? You can't have a control on a dream. But I do believe, as time passes and we become more evolved, I believe that what happens in the dream state is greatly going to affect what happens in the waking state. I believe that we're going to be able to control the dream state to a large degree, and there's going to be situations where chambers we could probably sit down in, plug ourselves in. You literally plug yourself in, and you could stay plugged in as long as you want. And while you're plugged in, you're in another world, and you're having another dream. and you're creating your own reality. Yes, I believe that these things will become the norm over the next 15 to 20 years, maybe sooner than that. Who knows? Watch the movie, what's the movie we just saw? Inception. Great movie to watch. Very inspiring. And watch the movie Waking Life. Waking Life. Watch that movie. Phenomenal movie. The whole movie is one long lucid dream. Well done. Very inspiring. Guys, if anyone wants to call in, you're more than welcome to call in, ask a question, or share some information. That number is 917-889-9947. Again, that number is 917-889-9947. And if you're watching this on YouTube or Google Plus, you're more than welcome to jump in on a video or audio session with us. Just click the button wherever it is to jump in. Moving forward, we're going to do what any mate circle does. Dana and I are just going to talk and drink mate. Feel free to join in our conversation. It's going to be less directed at you guys now and more directed at just what we're talking about. And if you guys want to jump in, jump in. We'll probably have a discussion, Dan and I, for another 25 minutes, half an hour. That's it, folks. I just kind of wanted to inspire you to look more into dreaming, to investigate this dreamscape. And if you do this, if you do look into dreams, I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised on what conclusions you could come up with. There's somebody calling in. Let's answer this call. Hello, hello.
Hello?
We have.
Is this Dave?
Yes, this is Dave.
Dave, how are you doing? This is Stephen Kent.
Who is this?
Stephen.
Stephen?
Yes, nice to meet you.
How you
I'm
doing,
a fan
Stephen?
Of your videos.
Oh, thank you, brother. What's going on?
Cool. So I'm just listening to your thing about dreams, but I have a problem dreaming. Like I just can't dream. I know they say that everyone dreams, but when I, you know, like I go to bed and then I'll wake up and nothing happens.
So you probably have a problem remembering your dreams.
Okay.
You know, I can give you.
What's that?
Basically, there's different ways to kind of remember your dreams. The basic way is called a reality check. Have you ever heard
okay.
of that?
No, I haven't.
So. Yeah, this sounds kind of weird, but basically a reality check is during your waking life, you know, anytime you're awake during the day, do something to test your reality. So jump up and try to float or try to walk through a wall, something silly. I know it's silly, but the more that you test your reality, what happens is when you do find yourself in a dream, of course, you won't know you're in a dream. You'll think it's your everyday life. But when you do find yourself in a dream, this whole testing reality will be so deeply embedded in your subconscious that you'll say, wait a minute, let me just test the reality. Let me test this. And you'll try to walk through a wall, and then you'll walk through a wall,
yeah.
and you'll do it, and you'll know you're in a dream. But it seems like your problem is that you don't remember anything. So when's the last time
yeah.
you remember ever having
yeah.
a dream?
Oh.
Never?
No, I do sometimes, like I can't remember or recall anything right now, but it's just, you know, usually I'll go to bed and then I wake up and it's time to start my day. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, I think you should keep a little journal next to your bed and don't stress out about it at all. Just keep that journal there. And anytime
uh-huh.
that you do remember anything from a dream, whether it's like one little instance, one little cat, a dog, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Write that down. And
okay.
what's happening is you're basically telling your mind that your dreams are important and that you should be remembering them. You're telling your subconscious that you want to remember your dreams. And that declaration alone, you'll be surprised, has a way
yeah.
of opening up windows,
yeah.
opening up doors. And you'll start to have dreams that you remember. That'll be the step one. And then step two is you'll actually later on be able to control the dream and know that you're
wow.
dreaming.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and that kind
yeah.
of leads me to the next question I had, was just kind
of
like, so once you can get to that stage of dreaming, how can you kind of I don't know if this is possible to, like, create your own dreams when you go to bed. Does that make sense? Like, you put yourself in your own dream world of what you want. Can you do that? Is that possible?
Yes. You see, dreaming is just like any other exercise. You know, like when people go to the gym and they go to the gym every day, they get better and they get better. I believe that dreaming is the same thing. It's basically it's a practice. So there's been times when I got to the point where I was literally creating my dream environment.
Yeah.
I was literally saying to myself, okay, let's create a beach and let's create beautiful white sand and let me teleport to this place. And I was able to do that. So I believe that you can create your own dream situation. And a lot of it starts like this. Did you ever just wake up and you know you're awake, but you can't move? You just can't move your body. You can't open up your eyes. Nothing can be moved at all.
Yeah,
that's very important. That's called the hypnagogic state, when your body is literally sleeping and your mind's awake. Most people freak out and they think they're dead. They think that they just go crazy in that state. If you could learn to become comfortable in that state, then that is the door. Because from that point, when you're in the hypnagogic state and your mind is awake but your body's sleeping, you could literally create a dream situation. You could say, okay, I know what's happening. I know my body's physically asleep. Stay calm. It's all about staying calm. You have to stay calm. You know, a lot of people who don't remember their dreams, you know, no offense to them, it's because they're not in control. This is not for everybody, but for a lot of people, they're just not in control of their regular life. So how could you be in control of dreaming life? You've got to be in control of your regular waking life. And when you're in this hypnagogic state, you could say, okay, I know what's happening. Now let me create a situation, and you create an environment, and then you kind of hear. It's weird. You just kind of pop into that environment. I don't know. I call it teleportation. I don't know any other name for it. Just kind of pop into it, and you're there.
Yeah.
That's one thing,
like, you know, I do struggle at. Like, usually I just, you know, go to bed and I wake up, but I think writing it down is really going to help me, you know, try to kind of figure out and evaluate what I need to do to start dreaming.
Absolutely. Definitely read the book. I would highly recommend the book. I think it's called The Art of Dreaming by Stephen LaBerge.
I've heard of that. A friend recommended it to me one time.
The Art of Lucid Dreaming by Stephen LaBerge. I highly recommend it. That book inspired me a lot. It actually helped me a lot. One of the greatest techniques I learned from that book is, as you begin to lucid dream, a lot of people have a problem with becoming too excited when they lucid dream, and when you become too excited, I notice that the dream breaks down and you begin to wake up. But if you're able to remain calm and do something physical while that deterioration is occurring, I like to do jumping jacks. So, for instance, if I find myself in a lucid dream and I feel like I'm losing connection with the dream, it's like a connection, like an internet connection. I don't know how it works, but I think of it as an internet connection where, as long as the connection's strong, you could stay. But if the connection becomes weak, it starts to crumble. And I strengthen the connection by doing jumping jacks. And I just jump up, and then I'm back in the lucid dream, and I got more control again.
How long did it take you to do this, to master yourself like that?
Years. I've been doing this for years. I mean, honestly, we got another caller. Just take your time. We'll be back to you on that other caller. But to answer your question, like I said, I've been lucid dreaming for as long as I can remember. I've been lucid dreaming, but I haven't taken a conscious effort to control the dreams just until the past, since 2013. So from 2013 to now, let's call it 3 years, roughly 2.5, 3 years.
Wow.
I've taken a conscious effort to control this state. And I noticed that it takes a lot of time because it's mastering your mind. I mean, how long does it take to master your mind? That could take a lifetime. That could take several lifetimes. But I've been lucky enough to meet some people who seem to have a high degree of control to the point where they're lucid 24/7.
Okay.
I mean, lucid to the point where when you go to sleep, you're lucid. You wake up and then you dream and you do whatever you want. And then you wake up in physical reality and you do whatever you want. So it just takes time and patience. And it's a sincere commitment to do it.
Yeah. It's just, it's a desire I have. It just, you know, it's hard because I can't have it, man. You know, I wake up every morning a little frustrated just because I didn't have a dream. That's the best part of going to bed, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, you'll get to the point where you'll be so excited to go to sleep. I'm always so excited to sleep because I know that I'm going to go into a dream. It'd be great.
Yeah. Awesome.
But
Dave,
of course,
I don't want to take any more air.
Sometimes.
Sure,
I mean,
a lot
that's
of people
only
are calling in right now, so.
Oh, no. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much for coming on, and feel free to come on anytime, and just glad that you came on and asked some questions.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. I'll see you next time, all right?
All right. Take care.
Take care. So we have another caller now. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. What do we have?
Hey, Dave. What's up? It's Jesse.
What's going on? Jesse?
Yep. What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? We're talking everything dreams.
Sounds good. Just came to listen here on my day off.
Nice. You got any information you want to share with the world on your dream experiences?
Yeah, sure. I've never gone lucid before, as far as I remember, but I think it is a very good idea when you go to sleep to set a notebook.
Set a notebook.
On your bedside table or on the edge of your bed or whatever. So when you wake up, it'll be like instinct to write down your dream that helps you with like, that helps you exercise remembering your dreams. And that's worked for me. So.
Absolutely. I mean, that was one of the things that helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Writing down. It's kind of just like telling your body what's important to you, telling your mind what's important to you, and if you're going to take the time to write something down, then you're telling your subconscious that it's important to you.
Yeah.
So if it's important, usually, and you do it over and over, you usually get better. But let me ask you this, Jesse. Do you think that when you're dreaming, that everything that's happening in the dream is only a reflection of your mind, or are there outside forces? Or
oh,
both?
Oh, man. I would say both because, I don't know, generally with my dreams that I remember, a lot of them have to do with something that I've seen, like maybe the day before or something that I need to do, something that's in my mind, something I need to take care of.
Yes.
So in that aspect, I would say it's a reflection of your mind, but then like there's also, you know, dreams that you get are, you're like, what the hell is going on? I don't, like,
mm-hmm.
some weird,
like,
stuff happens.
Weird stuff happens.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Just see weird images and things that don't particularly make sense in this reality,
mm-hmm.
you know? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I remember
most of
the
time.
First time I was lucid dreaming, I was astral projecting, and this Indian, I kept on hearing Indian music, like Native Americans. And it was weird because while I was astral projecting, I lit up a cigar. I was smoking a cigar. I was at my girlfriend's house in Argentina. And the next thing you know, there's like an Indian in the house. And he's chanting on the drums, like, yo, oh, you know, no offense to anybody if I just totally bashed that rhythm, that rhyme. But it was basically like, oh, yeah, you know how it sounds, right?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there just smoking a cigar, hanging out, and I just saw this dude, this Indian, I guess, and he was chanting, and it was kind of crazy. I couldn't believe what was happening, man. But then I've also dealt with demons. You know, I've dealt with monsters and ugly, crazy things trying to attack me. You got to deal with that, too. You know, you got to deal with, I think that some people think that these are lessons, you know, like they're actually training situations. You're training for something. I don't know what it is. I think everybody's training for something else. A lot of my dreams, I'm in some sort of intergalactic spacecraft flying around shooting lasers. I've been a part of many armies. I don't know. I mean, I think about my past life, and sometimes I'm thinking maybe I was involved with armies or some sort of coalitions. I don't know, because a lot of my dreams are revolved around that, those things. So I think our dreams kind of tell us who we really are if we look closely enough.
Yeah, and there are actually lots of books and stuff that are out there that have, like, aids to help you decode what's going on in your dreams. Obviously, they're not going to all be, you know, right for one person versus another, but I think it'd be interesting to kind of check out some of those, you know, what's going on with those, whether or not it rings true with what's in your, what you think happened versus what this book is trying to, you know, decode.
Absolutely. What do you think about, because I know a lot of people over the years have told me that as soon as they started drinking yerba mate, they were able to go lucid. Huh. And I found that mate definitely did coincide with me having more clarity of mind in my physical life and in my dream life. But what I find very interesting is that Wayusa, which is the cousin of yerba mate, Ilex pataguariensis, Ilex Wayusa, has been used for thousands of years by people in Ecuador and probably surrounding areas as an herb to induce lucid dreaming, as an herb to help people navigate the dream world, which I find very interesting because many people have told me that mate does the same thing, and mate also happens to be a cousin of Ilex Wayusa. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Must have something to do with, like, the adaptogenic properties. You know how, like, when you drink it, you know, let's say at night and you're relaxing, it kind of eases you into, like, a sleep state? Do you think it has something to do with that? I feel like it should because, I don't know, when I feel that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I think that it's also a simple matter of mate makes you clear-headed. And the more clear-headed you are, it doesn't matter what state your mind is in. The mind really knows no difference. The mind knows no difference, neurologically speaking, whether you're physically awake or sleeping, in terms of what you're seeing, images, in terms of reactions to those things. So I think that to the extent in which you're lucid now or clear-headed now, you will also be clear-headed in your dreams. You got to be clear-headed, period. It's not about being clear-headed in your dreams or being clear-headed in your waking life. It's about being clear-headed across the entire board. There is no partitioning of being clear-headed. You know, you can't be, you know, a confused person and also be a clear-headed person at once. That makes no sense. You can be confused about certain things in life, but generally speaking, most people are either clear-headed, they're just clear-headed people, or they're kind of just, you know, those people that just walk around like they're in a daze 24/7 and they're confused about everything. You could be like that. Now, I'm not talking about people with certain syndromes and things like that. That's something else. But, you know, some people that just don't care for life. They just have an apathetic view of life. They don't care. They're just like, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want, and it doesn't matter. And they have this whole fatalistic approach to life that nothing matters. I think that's the most dangerous way you could think. It's like you're dead, and you're just walking around. And you're a zombie.
And a lot of the time, even before you talk to those people, you can see it in their body language. It's
see it right in their eyes right away, man.
Yeah.
You can see the life in their eyes, man. The eyes tell you everything. You can see somebody's life in an instant, right through their eyes, man.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's something that I've been interested in for years now, dreaming and astral projection, and I used to be involved with all these different groups online, and
yeah,
I think it's fascinating. I think that everybody has to spend some time on it, man. Spend some time on yourself, self-mastery.
It's the unknown. That's why it's so fascinating.
Explore yourself. Explore the inner realms of your mind. Why not? It just sounds very intelligent to me. To explore your own self. What are you capable of? You know, like, what are you really here for? Why are you here in 2015 on planet Earth? Why aren't you on planet Dagon? You know, why aren't you on planet Juji? Whatever. I mean, why are you here on Earth right now? Figure it out. Only you can figure it out, you know? I could be totally wrong. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. I have no idea. I just have theories and feelings and gut callings, you know, gut whisperings of what's going on, but I won't ever pretend to know. I don't know. I really don't know. I think that's what's great about it, not knowing.
Yeah.
But trying to figure out at the same time, not knowing, but continuing on the journey of self-exploration, because the journey is infinite. Is the journey infinite, Dane? What happens after you die?
I mean, we'll figure it all out.
But your gut, what does your gut tell you? When you entertain that idea of dying, what does your gut tell you? Do you go to a place called heaven? Do you go to a place called hell? Do you go to limbo? Are you in limbo, purgatory, or are you just don't know?
I think something happens. I mean, how we feel emotionally and, like, the human mystic ways, I feel, get detached from it. I mean, I think our energy or whatever is contributed back into the cycle. But, I mean, where we go, I don't think it's something we can comprehend as humans.
Mm.
Like, I think it's something our brain can handle, maybe, and, like, our energy could, like, travel through. But, I mean, with our eyes and with, like, our brain capacity at this moment, like, I don't think we could readily just understand what happens. Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so you said the word human. So what are you when you're no longer in your physical body anymore? Are you still human? Because the human is talking about this biological suit, this biological bag.
I mean,
that's what a human is to you, right?
I feel like it's a relay point from Earth or from whatever energy source.
Because there's sometimes when I think about it where I think I'm not even human. I'm like, this is interesting. I look around this earth and I'm like, I have these moments when I'm like, wait a minute.
It feels very detached.
Yeah, I feel like, wait a minute. Whoa, what the hell is going on here? What are these people doing? Why is everyone killing? And I look at it and I'm just like, this is very interesting that I'm here right now looking at all this, because I know that I'm going to be somewhere else. We are reconnecting you now. We're back, guys. Sorry, whoever was listening in. Are you still there, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, you'll probably... All right, cool, we're back. What was the story I was going to tell you? Damn it. 1 second, brother. I just got to reconnect over here on Google. And then I'll continue with the story, if I can remember what I was going to say. You know what I was going to say? Sunday school, yes. yes, Sunday school. Got to get back in this. Okay, we're back. So, sorry about that, guys. The story I wanted to tell you was when I was in Sunday school. I was a little kid. I used to go to Sunday school every Sunday. I didn't really like it. My parents made us go. No offense to anybody, but... One day I was in Sunday school, and I had this teacher, right? And I kept on asking them questions. I was like, what happened? Wait a minute. Who created God? And they were like, shut up, basically. And I was like, why? I was very inquisitive as a child. I was always the kid who was asking a million questions. And some teachers respected it. Some teachers hated it. That's been the story of my life. Welcome to my world. And one day this teacher was like, all right, you want to know what hell is? I'll tell you what hell is. Did you ever burn your finger on the stove? I was like, yeah. And he said, imagine that sensation around your entire body 24/7. That's what he told me hell was. And I think I was like 8 or 9. I was scared. And then when I got a little older and I started to get more into science, things like that, I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm sorry. For me, I just don't believe that. For some people believe that, fine. But as a child, being told that hell is the sensation of burning your finger, but all and over your entire body 24/7. I was scared. I don't think we should be scaring children like this. This is crazy. You don't scare a little kid like this. I guess that's how a lot of religion works.
Just scared.
I was scared, though, man. I remember when I heard that, I was like, man, I got to be good. I got to be so good.
Not to make this about, like, bashing religion.
Yeah, this is not about bashing religion. This is just in Mathe Circle sharing our stories. I was scared, dude.
Like people were very, are scared of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just telling you this is going to happen. Like, people don't venture into that aspect of anything.
Right.
When they're very afraid of what's going to happen. So, I mean.
But I respect it, though. You know what it is? Like,
I
respect all religions.
Yeah, no, there's no reason why you shouldn't. I mean,
yeah, like.
It's just, I
think
for a human,
it could be okay.
Yeah, no, I believe. I mean, all religions, they all preach peace and open-mindedness, LML. I mean, open-armedness, like, just simple kindness and just neighborly love.
Right.
But, I mean, for me being growing as a human, I feel like there's a couple things you got to take away, take out of that. I mean, being a friendly person, loving everything, and treating everyone neighborly is something I feel like anybody. So, I mean, just because you aren't affiliated with a religion doesn't mean you're necessarily bashing.
Right. And, like, for me, I can't join anything or do anything unless I have experiential contact with it. I mean, for me, when it comes to Jesus, say, for instance, an example, I don't know this guy named Jesus. I don't know who he is. I read about him. I read a lot of great things about him. He seems like a very cool dude. He seems like a very nice guy. But I don't know him. I'm not going to pretend that I know this guy. For me, he's just a historical figure that I read about, and he's done a lot of great things. But I won't pretend to say that this is a man that I know existed. I don't know. I don't know the guy. I just read about him. People told me about him. But I don't dedicate my life to him. I don't do anything for him. You know, what makes him better than Buddha that came hundreds of years before him? Muhammad came long before him. Does that make him, Jesus, better than Buddha who's performed miracles, or Muhammad who has performed miracles, or the thousands of other figureheads of religions and philosophies who came before them? Think about Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism, Lao Tzu. He predated Jesus by, who knows, at least 1,000 years. So for me, as somebody who not only deals with metaphysics, but also science, I can't reconcile that I should bow down to any man that I don't know. I don't bow down to any man. And Jesus has been a person who I've studied, but I don't know who he is. I don't know when he was born. I wasn't his friend. I just read about him, just like how I read about anybody else. So for me, I like to read the Bible. I like to read many different Bibles, not just one Bible. There's many Bibles. I read them all, and I take good stories from them, and I try to live a peaceful life. That's me. I don't call that religion. I don't call that anything. That's just living a positive life. And with that mentality, I think that you could accept all religions. You don't have to pigeonhole yourself into one. If you do pigeonhole yourself into one, I think that's okay, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. Like, my family, you know, Christians, and they tried to raise me as a Christian, and, you know, as I became older, like I said, I just had to dismiss all that, because all I've known about this guy named Jesus is what people told me about him, or what I've read about him, but that's it. I don't have any internal connection to him, so how could I give my power to something that I don't know? Now people may say, wait a minute, you don't have faith? Faith is what? Believing in something you can't see? Of course I have faith. I have faith that I'm going to do amazing things and amazing things are going to happen. I believe in myself. That's faith. You got to have faith. But for me, Jesus is just a pretty cool dude. He's a guy I read about. He seemed pretty cool. I'd love to hang out with him if he was around. I'd love to drink mate with him. But so does Buddha. You know, so does Steve Jobs. So does Einstein. So does Henry David Thoreau. So does Emerson. These are all cool people who I've studied.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. You know, like, I don't know who that is, but he sounds pretty cool, too. Scientology?
Yeah.
You know, I take a very realistic approach to these things, you know. I mean,
for me, it's about taking very cold, like, with everything.
Yeah.
Moving the pieces around however you see fit.
Right. See, let me draw a parallel here. Okay. It's kind of like this. You got people, say we're talking about marijuana, cannabis, okay? And you ask somebody about it. That person may say, oh, my God, it's horrible for you. It's bad for you. It's garbage. Stay away. Bad, 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 bad. And the reason they say that is because everything that people have told them. But then I say, wait a minute. Let's talk about some of the scientific compounds of THC. Let's talk about some of the scientific journals published on cannabis. How many books have you read on cannabis? How many studies and documentations have you observed? Zero, zero. But yet, they say that it's bad, 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 bad because of all those DARE commercials and all that. So for me, religion can work in the same way. You may have somebody who is totally committed and love it, but then if you ask them about anything that they studied about it, they say, oh, I haven't studied anything. I just know what I've been told. That's very dangerous to me. For me, that's a very dangerous way to live your life, just to absorb what you've been told without doing any personal investigation, personal experiential contact with something. For me, that's being blindfolded. I can't reconcile that way of living. It doesn't work for me. Yeah, if I'm going to look into something, I'm going to read about it. I'm going to talk to the experts. I'm going to have experiential contact with that thing until the point where I absorb it, to the point where I intuitively have some understanding about what it is I'm dealing with. But anything shy of that, then I would consider myself a phony, a charlatan. I would consider myself somebody who's just making everything up. Can't live that way, man. It's not me. So for those of you out there who are offended right now, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just saying, listen, think about it. The way you're living your life, is it based upon what you've learned from everybody else? Or is it also inspired by your own internal journey, your own research, your own investigations, your own grasping for this knowledge? Don't live your life being controlled by everybody. Do some of your own investigation.
Always be big help. You know what I mean? Never get to live by it.
Mm.
It's all about taking the most information, making the most educated decision you possibly can. I mean, like what you said with, like, just with cannabis, but I mean, with anything, just, I mean, obviously, like, someone who tell you fucking heroin's awesome for you, like, it's going to make you feel great. Like, you've never tried it, but I mean, people are going to tell you it's bad. I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, you try it, but I mean, it's like, enjoy, like, all this stuff, but I mean,
you may go to heaven. You may go to heaven after that
all
first.
All these things, but I mean, there's still people saying it's you, and like, you gotta actively get that information and filter it into like your decision and if it's gonna be beneficial or not. And obviously,
right.
9.5 out of 10 shooting a pair isn't good, and the other half big. So
we got another caller. Let's see. Hello. What do we have?
Hey, yo, Dave. This is Ryan.
Ryan, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm actually hanging out in Amish country right now in Pennsylvania.
Nice, man. Have you ever been to Woodward? I used to go there. I went to a skateboarding camp there.
Oh, I've heard of it. I've been to the Woodward out in Colorado.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to go there, man. Skate with the pros. I wasn't pro, but I tried.
Nice,
what's
man.
What's going
but
on,
hey,
man?
Well, to jump in on this whole the dream discussion. So I'm wondering, you're a big tea guy. Have you ever heard of Kalea Zakatechichi?
No. Does it go by any other names?
So the Mexican shamans call it the dream herb.
Okay. Yes, I have heard of an herb known as the dream herb, but I don't know if that's exactly what you're referring to. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's one in South Africa as well.
Okay. But yeah, so I actually found out about that before I found out about mate. And basically the stuff I've traditionally taken is you smoke a cigarette of it before bed, and then you brew a cup of tea with about an ounce of fresh leaves, and you basically have the most surreal lucid dreams you've ever had in your whole life.
Really?
Yes.
You gotta get a hold. Is it legal?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow. Is it related to Salvia divinorum?
No. I know what you're talking about, but I don't think it's in the same class.
Okay. Because I have experienced that.
Yeah, I know Salvia is more of like a one-hit, boom, like instant visuals, hallucinations, stuff like that. And this stuff is more like you go to sleep, and that's when you start to, you know, have the hallucinations.
So you've actually taken this Mexican dream herb, and you've had these lucid dreams?
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
so talk to us about that. Like, how does it go?
Well, so I know you mentioned the movie Inception.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, and I don't know how your lucid dreams work for you, but for me, the movie Inception really kind of captured how I lucid dream is, in their lucid dreams, they have this, like, signal. They have some kind of token that when they see that in the dream, they realize they're dreaming, and that's how I do it. Lately, I think it used to be like a red ball or something, but now every time I see mate in my dreams, I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming.
That's awesome, man. You use mate as your dream tool.
I do. I'll see someone with like a gourd, and I'll be like, oh, I'm dreaming.
Wow. And then you just take control of the dream.
Yes. And, yeah, I've gone on many a sexual escapade with those, but
yeah, those are fun.
They're always fun. But I wanted to ask you more about the astral projection.
Absolutely.
Because I've gotten to the point, I want to say twice, where I've been laying down in bed, and my mind is completely awake, but my body feels paralyzed. I can't move a single muscle. Everything's asleep, and at those points, I try to kind of will my mind to leave my body, but I just have never been able to do it.
Yeah. So, in my experience, when you're in those states, the more effort that you exert, the harder that it is to do anything.
Okay.
It's kind of like, it's like somebody once said that true power is feather light. And basically, the way that I see that is, when you're in that state, you got to be so calm. You got to be so just loose to the point where, from when I become very loose, when I'm in that hypnagogic state you're referring to, when you're paralyzed, I literally calm myself down to the point where I either begin to float. There's kind of like this level of detachment that usually revolves around a high level of vibrations. You're vibrating, you're vibrating. I think vibration is kind of like you're detaching. I don't know what it is. You basically become like not physically vibrating, but energetically vibrating. And for me, once the vibrations start to cease, I literally just fall through the bed. I just fall through. I fall through the bed, and then I kind of just stand up, and I walk. So for me, it's about being very calm and controlling your breathing. You got to really control. You kind of, even if you're not physically monitoring your breath, you have to almost pretend that you're just breathing and everything's calm and everything's okay.
Okay.
Because if you get tense, you tense up in that situation, I feel like you just get locked inside your body. You get locked in. You got to be real calm.
Okay.
And there's no way to really. Go ahead, brother.
Have you heard of the? Have you seen the movie Insidious?
Insidious? No. What is that about?
So it's a horror movie. It's a scary movie, but it's all based around astral projection.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually really.
It came out a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, it is scary, man. But I mean, it talks a lot about the whole astral projection thing, and a lot of the how they depict it in that movie is kind of like how you've been describing it.
Yeah. It could be intense, man. Like, I have to admit, like, the first year I was involved in astral projection, I was like, there's been many times where I was just scared out of my mind, man.
What's the other word for?
Sleep paralysis. Yeah, hypnagogic state is called sleep paralysis as well.
Yeah, it's happened to me quite a few times. I mean, a couple times in the past couple of years, like, for, like, 5 years. And, like when you tense, like, you do tense up, like, you can just, like, kind of, like, rile yourself up. But, like, but it is, like, you're in your room, like, you're in a very, like, familiar place. But, like, you could just, like, you could tell, like, it's not
the same.
Like, yeah. it's not, like, you're not looking at your eyes.
Yeah, you're
like,
not, yeah.
You're just, like, there.
And I notice that there's no physical talking. When I'm in these states, I notice that I'm not opening my mouth and nobody's opening their mouth. It's just, like, it seems to be, like,
telepathic.
Yeah, telepathic, nonverbal communication. It's like you're communicating through thoughts.
Yes.
Which makes me think that that may be the highest level of communication through thoughts, the cleanest level of communication. That's what I'm learning from dreams. But, yeah, it takes time, man. I mean, the fact that you could lucid dream right now is amazing because most people can't.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the more you open up this door, the more you got to be a warrior for this sort of life because it's not for every, you know, it is for everybody, but some people are dealing with such high levels of anxiety and depression and things like this in their waking life that to expect them to learn how to become calm when there's monsters coming at them in their dreams, that takes a whole level of training, I believe. You got to train for this. Well,
definitely.
You
got to
really consciously try.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like the whole dreaming thing has a lot to do with your state of mind. And actually, I missed your discussion about the marijuana mate, all that stuff. But I recently kind of realized I like to, you know, smoke almost every day. And I've noticed that when I smoke before bed, I never dream. I never recall my dreams ever. But recently, having traveled out to the East Coast and not having that available to me, I've found that I recall my dreams almost every night, and they've been a lot more vivid, which is kind of weird.
That's interesting.
I don't know if you've ever had any kind of experience with that.
Yeah, I have. For me, when I smoke or consume cannabis, I feel that I gotta be honest. When I go to sleep with cannabis in my system, that's some of the I never get tired of it. For me, it's an amazing thing because when I'm in my bed and there's cannabis in my system, for me personally, I know that I'm going to be able to slide into a dream much faster. I'm going to be able to create that dream with much more proficiency. And again, that comes down to, I believe, the individual's relationship with those particular herbs. So for some people, cannabis may prohibit them from clarity in their dreams. Or it might actually enhance the dreams, but they just can't remember the dreams because cannabis kind of scrambles your neurons, not in a bad way, I think in a good way.
Yeah.
It kind of has an effect of scrambling the neurons. And for me, that's good. I want to scramble my neurons. I love to scramble my neurons because I create much more. For me, scrambling my neurons is great because my mind works in such a way that it's always working. It's always trying to do certain things, but I have to take a break sometimes, whether that's through meditation or consuming particular herbs that help me just to scramble everything and scramble it. And it's ironic because you're scrambling it, but then you're also in a state of calm. You're also in a state of, you feel very relaxed physically, physiologically. So for me, cannabis actually enhances my ability to dream, to remember my dreams, as does yerba mate. Mate enhances my ability. Things. And maybe it's just a placebo effect. Maybe it's just you think that it does it, so it does it. But even if that is the case, does it really matter? That just means that you have that much control to create, to believe that things are helping you. But I really believe that, you know, for me, that they are having a direct impact on my dream life.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think everybody has to be their own investigator when it comes to these things, and share, like what we're doing now. We're just sharing that information, and the more information that we share with each other, I think that the more data, for lack of a better word, data we're going to have to inspire us and to empower us to continue on this journey, because it's all a journey.
Sure.
You know, I'll leave this conversation with one last observation I've noticed. So I'm a big rock climber. I do a lot of rock climbing. And with that, you know, involves a lot of camping, going out in nature, camping, all that stuff. And I've noticed my dreams are always very, very strong. I can always recall them very well. Very awesome lucid dream when I'm outside under the stars camping out. And I don't know if that's just you're around all this clean air, this good energy, or what. But that's, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I love that stuff.
That's a beautiful thing, man. I believe that environment really has an impact. When I was living outside for basically a year in California, I had some of the most intense dreams I've ever had, like just being outside. And basically, for those of you guys that don't know my background story, I was living in Northern California. I was involved with protecting land out there. And a lot of that involved me living 200 feet sometimes in the air in the trees. And a lot of times it involved me camping out in the forest. And I just remember during that period of my life when I was out in Northern California, basically in the deep forest, I was having really intense dreams, man. Like the dreams I had out there, I felt like the trees were speaking to me. I really felt that I was communicating with plants.
No, there's I don't know where it was, probably stumbled upon, but I mean, if like there's ways to rekindle your creativity, and I know that really coincides with like your dreamscapes and stuff like that. But I mean, like, I know the disconnect from technology and like from like busier society really helps. Like if you don't watch TV or go on like computer for a week, like you can use write, like and just read.
Yeah,
and, like, no like super outside stimuli. Like your brain becomes like very much more creative and more active amongst your imagination, the things you can do with your own self. But I mean, your dreams do become more vivid and more, like, more intense. So, I mean,
yeah,
that adds the fact that you have time outside, like, to reflect and just think. It gives you, like, a little more rounder of a feel. I mean, like, definitely does help a lot.
Yeah. I totally agree, man. Being outside of nature for an extended period of time, at least, even if it's a couple of days, it seems to change everything.
Yeah.
Seems to change entire outlook on life. I don't know. I feel like nature does that to us when we're outside. I mean, we are nature. I am nature. But interacting with other aspects of nature, like trees and mountains and stars, on a constant basis, as opposed to just being tied down, iPhone, laptop, technology, it's kind of like, you know, you got to separate sometimes from those things and just go off to trees and wind and birds and bees, and just realign your mind with Mother Nature.
Definitely.
That's how I.
Definitely.
Thank you.
What better place to do that in NorCal? You know.
Northern Cali, man. That's I was living out in Humboldt County.
Cali.
I was all the way up there, man.
Oh my God!
Up there. Whoever's watching this from Humboldt County, man. Much respect to you guys. You guys taught me so much, man. You guys, it's like another country up there. I really think it's another country. Everybody says hello. Everybody was so nice. Everybody wants to share. They want to share. You know, like, I'm from New York. Nobody wants to share anything with you in New York. I mean, I love New York. I'm a New Yorker. New York's my place. When you're there, man, people want to share things with you, man. It's crazy. Like, people want to give you things.
wanting to hang out. It's weird. It's another mentality up there. I love California, man. Everybody from Cali, Colorado, that area, Pacific Northwest, really, really nice area. Nice people, different lifestyle. Sweet.
All right, Dave. Well, always a pleasure. I love.
You
taught me a lot, and look forward to some future stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll see you on the next one, hopefully.
Absolutely.
Have a good one. Peace. That's just how it goes, folks. Jesse, you still with us?
Still here, man. Still chilling.
Nice, man. That's just how it goes, brother. I love connecting with other people. I mean, this is a mate circle, everybody. You just connect with people. You talk about whatever you want to talk about. And you drink mate. I mean, you come in peace. You come in harmony. And you talk about things that expand the mind. I mean, you drink something that is arguably the most powerful plant in the world. Yerba mate. Antioxidants off the charts, nutritive ability, nutritive healing powers off the charts. It's been consumed by thousands of years by the Tupi people and the Guarani people of southern Brazil and northern Argentina, parts of Paraguay, parts of Uruguay, parts of Bolivia even. Very powerful drink. A mate circle is just that, coming together. Sharing this herb or sharing anything you want to share. You can't go wrong, and sometimes the conversation just comes down to, all right, we just had a whole bunch of mate in our system. We kind of taxed our brains. I don't have any new ideas right now. It is what it is. I guess that's when a circle comes down to an end. Anybody wants to join in on the circle, this is your moment. Give us a call. 917-889-9947. Now's your chance. Or if you're watching this on YouTube or Google Plus, jump on in. If not, we'll probably be around for another 5 more minutes while we wrap up. And every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we're back here filming. We're going live. This is live. It's being broadcast right now on our Blog Talk Radio channel and on our YouTube Google Plus channel. Just type in Circle of Strength. For those of you who are watching this on YouTube, we have a Google Plus channel. Just follow us on Google Plus. And look for us on Facebook. We have a couple pages on Facebook. We have our little secret group. If you find us, we'll let you in. And then we have our general group at facebook.com/circleofdrink. And that's it, folks. Keep on drinking mate. Keep on exploring yourself. Keep on loving yourself. Keep on building. This is all it is, man. Just building. We're only on Earth for a limited amount of time, so you might as well make the best of this time. Who knows if you'll be back on Earth again. Maybe not. Just have a good time while you're here. Create something while you're here. Do amazing things while you're here. And drink yerba mate while you're here. You know, why not? Drink something healthy that actually tastes great and helps you navigate through life. Yerba mate tea. CircleofDrink.com, of course. But that's it, folks. Jesse, thank you, brother, for joining us.
Of course, man. It's always a pleasure.
Hope to see you on the next one.
Of course.
Dane over here at Circle of Drink. And I'm Dave Mate, Circle of Drink. And we're just going to keep on doing this every week. Let's build this up, guys. If you guys have any ideas for conversations, let us know. Find us on Facebook or shoot us an email. Let us know, and we'll make it happen.
We'll gladly get some homework in and give you some knowledgeable talk about,
yes,
about a decent topic.
Yes, we'll get our homework in, and we'll talk about amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Many blessings to you. Namaste. Salud. Drink that mate. Jesse, I'll catch you on the next one. And thanks a lot, guys.
Always a pleasure, guys. See you.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Can you open that, brother? Sorry, I had to close it before. Because it was hot. I mean, there was noise.
Understandable.
Let's get a little air. I think I'm still recording.